Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Maluleke, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, Mr. Zama Malote.
Are you good?
I am good, and you?
Ah, fantastic, man. Cannot complain. Been loving the weather this afternoon in my part of the world. I hope that you have had a good day.
Yeah, I've had a good day. It's been raining on and off, but at the moment it's a bit sunny and partly cloudy. So
lovely.
Not bad at all.
Lovely. Now, you know, someone made an argument on an online forum addressing the subject we're discussing this week. And it says the Bible is the same as it was centuries ago. Science changes when new information comes along. What does that tell you? That's what it says. So essentially, arguing that the Bible is static and inflexible, which could be seen as an unwillingness to move with the times, etc., etc. What would be your take on that statement? Is Christianity unwilling to learn and adjust to new information?
I would say there are so many timeless statements that we can find in the Bible. We realize that if we were to talk about the human beings and the challenges or problems or predicaments, dilemmas that they face, we're going to find that they are the same from about 6,000 years ago. We are still dealing with similar challenges of obsession with self. We are still dealing with issues of sexual immorality. We are still dealing with societal challenges. We are always trying to find solutions to old problems. Can we say that we are still failing? So I think that the Bible is giving answers answers and solutions to problems that have been there, problems that are still here. To say the Bible is not moving with the times, I'm not sure if that would be correct. In fact, we are, as human beings, the ones who are not even able to learn from our own mistakes. And the Bible keeps giving us the direction. It's our compass to say this is the direction that you need to be taking. You know, if we were maybe learning lessons from the Bible, and we were doing better, if we were able to do better without the guidelines, that it gives us, then we could say maybe it is outdated. But clearly, most countries are still struggling with immorality, lawlessness, anarchy. And, we actually have to keep finding ways to improve our security, our policing systems, our prosecution systems, in order to deal with problems that have been there in the Bible. They are still now. Now, what is outdated about the Bible, if we are still addressing issues of theft? It's just that now there's also white collar crime. So what is it that is new that has made the Bible to be irrelevant, except that now we have wanted to lower the standards and promote anarchy and lawlessness, such that everything goes, so that the Bible becomes irrelevant, in the sense that we do not want to adhere to the advice that it gives us. But still, we go back to the same problems that we still deal with socioeconomic issues. We still deal with violence. We still deal with sexual immorality and diseases, that go along with those kinds of life. Who are dealing with, the rate of murder and the manner in which the violence, the manner in which the value of life has deteriorated. I never thought it would be happening in South Africa. For example, I've lived in Korea for 12 years, and when people would portray South Africa as a very violent country, I would say to Americans, one thing that doesn't happen in South Africa is random shootings. But over the past I've been back for 3 years now. You know, people shoot not only with shotguns now, handguns, but they use rifles. The value of life has deteriorated, and people would, be saying, in Kabi, it's like a job. It's just like any other job. They also help. You know, that's where we are now in terms of morality. The Bible is still relevant.
Perhaps unique to the African setting. However, I'm sure you do know that in many European countries, what has been known to be a viable religion, Christianity, is becoming obsolete to the extent that many, churches there that have been thriving over centuries have now become museums and have been turned into sports bars, etc., etc. I'm sure you are aware of those instances, which are quite many, actually, quite prevalent in the European countries. Would you not say, therefore, that the Bible or Christianity therefore became irrelevant in that part of the world?
Yeah, when we're talking about the post-modern world, especially in countries that are doing well, economically, that are stable, socioeconomically, good social welfare, good education systems, their governance has improved. They render services to their people. We're talking Northern Europe, Denmark, Sweden, Iceland, Finland. Those are very advanced countries. And yes, the church is growing in the south of the equator, in South America, in Africa generally, and the rate of growth is slow in North America and in Europe. Because those people, even if you were to evangelize to them, you wouldn't need to give them food parcels. They don't need food parcels. They are fine. Yes, but what I have noticed as well, I've lived in South Korea for 12 years, which is that country's number 11, or they've probably moved up to 10 in terms of GDP per capita. You also realize that in those countries, the levels of depression are high, the levels of alcoholism are high, the levels of suicide are high, because now you have everything that you need economically. You know, you don't need to beg for a job and things like that, but you have a problem, existential problems, where people have issues with, what is the meaning of life? Why am I here? And the level of alcoholism is high, depression is high, the level of suicides are high. You know, you're talking about Korea, you'll be shocked to find, even amongst celebrities who have amassed a lot of wealth and popularity and fame, I remember just before I came back, one famous celebrity committed suicide, and he was in fact paying a lot of money to see a psychiatrist. Now, if you are a celebrity, you have a lot of money, that means you are seeing the best of the best. But even on his suicide note, he still kind of blamed that psychiatrist, that the psychiatrist was also not able to reach him. And so he's been suffering. So I'm simply saying, yes, it looks like Christianity is not growing in those areas, but it does not mean that the questions that I was talking about have been answered, questions of meaning, questions of purpose, because still people still die hopeless, depressed, stressed, and they give themselves over to alcohol. If you talk about Sweden, you realize that I don't know whether to say sexual immorality or permissiveness is very high. Things like couple swapping, because people are so bored. Economically they are fine, they are stable, the governance is okay. They are not complaining about such things, but things become so monotonous, so boring, that people want to experiment. Can we say the Bible is irrelevant? Still, even to those, it's just that we have to change the manner in which we approach them. Yes, they are highly intellectual, highly advanced, but it does not mean that there are no issues, especially mental health issues, even when externally everything seems to be together.
Now, does the Bible, scripture, provide all the answers that we need to know? Or perhaps there are questions for which science has better answers?
Yeah, that's a difficult question. It's a good question. I think for me, my take is science and the Bible are not contradictory. They actually go hand in hand. They can be compatible. They can be complementary. If we talk, for example, about some studies that were done, the Blue Zone studies, you know, you checking people who live the longest on Earth. I think there were people in Japan, some area of Japan, some the Sardinians in Italy, people around Loma Linda University in the United States. Those people live above average life. So, I mean, it is science that researches and tries to find out the answers. You know, why would people live so long? That is scientific. And so we will say the people around Loma Linda University, they live healthy lifestyles. They are mostly vegan or vegetarian. They exercise. They believe in God. They keep the Sabbath. Now, these things have been studied scientifically, and the Sabbath, for example. In fact, let me say nature. In nature, 7 is only forms part of the week in terms of time or the calendar. But in nature, we don't recognize that, we don't see any 7-day cycle. We have a monthly cycle, you know, that is based on the moon, the movement of the moon. Then we have a month. So we have a yearly cycle, you know, based on the revolution of the earth around the sun. But the 7-day cycle is not there. But so people have done studies to show that, you know, this weekly cycle that is not there anywhere in nature, where God said rest once every week on the Sabbath day, you know, it is good for us to refresh us, to revitalize us, to re-energize us. And studies have been done, you know, they would take, rats have been taken, you know, stressed, choked with some, you know, electrocuted wires or things like that, you know, to give them stress for 6 days. And it has been shown that when you give them rest for a day, a full day, they are able to recover physically and mentally. So I'm saying science and religion can be compatible when we do deeper studies to show that what the Bible has prescribed, if we adhere to it, it is able to give us more longevity. That's just one example. If we look at the Mediterranean diet also, that is adhered to in Sardinia, where people live long, it's not far from the diet that is prescribed in the Bible. So the Bible still has answers in terms of how we spend our time. You know, work, labor, you know, you can do all your work in 6 days, but on the seventh day, remember, it is the Sabbath of the Lord, rest. That is relevant today for us physiologically, spiritually, mentally. The diet that has been prescribed by the Bible, you know, if we look at Ronaldo, who's still playing at the age of 38,
he
does not just eat anything. He does not just drink anything. He takes care of his body. He exercises, but he drinks water. He avoids Coke. I remember there was a day when they had put, he was in a press conference, and they had put, because Coke sponsored the World Cup. So when they have a press conference, they put those drinks there. And he removed it in front of him, because he does not, as a celebrity who puts his health as a priority, he does not even want to send the message that he's endorsing Coke. Now, we know from the book of Daniel that he adhered to a vegetarian diet, fruit, vegetables, drank a lot of water, and his with his friends, their intellectual performance was very high. Those things are still relevant today. When you people pay a lot of money to hire coaches, what do we call them? Executive coaches or personal coaches. Mm-hmm. But it's a growing industry these days. The advice they give is what we call new start kind of advice. Mm-hmm. Check your nutrition, exercise, drink water, get enough sunlight, have temperance, be balanced, be moderate, get enough fresh air, get enough rest, adequate rest, and then trust God or thank God. But they, because they are not necessarily Christians, they will say, but, you know, take a look at your spirituality and have some spiritual guide or direction. So I'm simply saying the coaches, executive coaches of today or performance coaches, whether it's mental, physical, or even business related, they give a lot of advice that we could get for free.
It's true.
The Bible that we want to say is outdated and irrelevant.
Now, thank you so much for this. We're going to be closing it off now with this last one. Does Christianity allow for one to question things that may sound unlikely? You know, for example, that Noah was able to build a boat to accommodate every single animal species under the sun and survive it with his family for several weeks. I mean, or that there was perhaps literally no other person on earth other than the eight who were saved in the flood. Would it be a lack of faith to question, you know, things like that and many other stories?
What are we questioning here? The level of ventilation in the boat that it would have been. Are we questioning the space,
the viability,
the capacity?
Yes.
What I know that it is that it had three decks. And animals came two by two, maybe the clean ones two by two, but in terms of sevens, and then the other ones two by two, but maybe two pairs. I honestly think I vaguely remember the dimensions, but I have not fully checked the dimensions against the number of species available. To conclude that the space was not enough. I would have to really check. But I think if people have done that and say no, but that arc was 4 by 4 meters, 4 by 4 meters, and the height was also 6 meters, and so it's just.
Yeah, the idea is not necessarily on the story itself. It was just an example, but I'm talking literally here about, when a person is reading some particular story and they think, come on, this is unlikely. The question, therefore, is, does Christianity allow for one to question something that may be unlikely when they go through it and they say, no, man, is a person allowed to say, no, guys, come on, let's be real here. Let's look at this properly from this angle, that angle, and that angle. Does Christianity actually allow for such a discourse?
Yes, it does. You know, God says, come now, let us reason together. He allows us to ask questions, you know. There are many people who have asked questions. When we read the book of Job, it's a book of theodicy. Job did ask questions. At some point, he was depressed. He just wanted to die. God does allow us to ask questions. But when we have asked questions, he will also later respond with his answers. But for us as human beings in our church spaces, when we have discussions, we should have room to allow people to ask questions. Jesus dealt with questions. He answered people. He had, you know, he had good answers to people who would say, how do you read your Bible? You know, he had a lot of answers. So we need to learn to have answers for questions that people have. And also, when we do not have answers, let us be honest and say, you know, we do not have an answer for everything. We do not have an answer for everything. What we know what we do not know. At the moment, what God has not revealed in His Word, we do not have an answer for that. Maybe as time goes by, the Holy Spirit may impress upon us as to how to respond to certain questions. But because we have the internet, if a question has been asked, we can also Google and check, has this question been asked? How has it been responded to? You know, we can always try, but we never, Christianity does not dismiss people who have questions. You know, even was it Acts chapter 8? Somebody was reading the book of Isaiah 53, an African and Ethiopian, and the Holy Spirit sent Philip there to go and explain to him what it meant. Because we cannot always claim that we understand each and every single verse and doctrine, and we do not have questions. Even I, as a theologian with a master's degree, I still have questions, and maybe when I decide to pursue a PhD, I will still ask certain questions. So Christianity does allow us to ask questions, just that sometimes it depends on the type of question. Are you going to ask questions, or some people will claim to be asking a question when they are not necessarily asking a question. They actually want to take us into what they believe. But they will be coming as if they are asking a question. So I think when people have taken a position, they must not claim to be asking questions. It's good to be fair. So I've met many people who will be asking questions in order to start a debate, an argument, but they have already taken a position. So when people have already taken a position, for example, I belong to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. We have some fundamental beliefs, and you know, you can believe in the Bible and maybe you can go to heaven because you go through the name of Jesus. You know, he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. But to belong to an organization, a church is an organization. Here on earth, you are voted to be a member of that organization, even after you are baptized. So if you want to retain your own views different from the organization that you joined by vote, you are also maybe free to leave if you have taken a position that you feel that this group is not adhering to what I believe. But if you have questions, it's different. You have questions, they must be discussed, and then we must try to find answers. And that's why we have the Biblical Research Council. Some answers, some questions cannot even be answered by the church. For example, if we talk about the humanity, you know, we talk about Christ being 100% human, 100% divine. When it comes to the human nature of Christ, there's a guideline where even an article from the Biblical Research Council will say, on this position, there are two or three possible positions, and we do not advise that a member, because you believe in this particular one, you should impose it on others. If you believe A, that's fine. If you believe in B, that's fine. But let's not go to church and debate over which one is superior to the other. So there are certain things where we need to give people room to believe whatever they can. We can discuss, but let us not say, you know, the Bible conclusively says it's A or not B.
And on the same breath, we do not label people of those questions as those who lack faith, do we?
No, we shouldn't. But like I said, you know, I really wonder. We shouldn't label people. But it also depends on the level. Where are you? You know, I know a professor, Pastor. What was his name in Australia? Pastor Desmond Ford, who was also a professor, and he had issues with Daniel chapter 8 verse 14, unto 2,300 days. And then the sanctuary shall be cleansed.
Yep.
Now, he had his own interpretation. He has written, you know, textbooks. Mm-hmm. He was given an audience at the general conference to present his view, you know, and he presented his view. Now, he was requested. The same thing, you can present your view. You will not be labeled. So he was given room to present. The problem with him, he was a professor, he was a pastor, he had credentials of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, was that before, if there was even consensus or his views were accepted to say maybe he has a point with this alternative, he was already teaching his own personal theory to Seventh-day Adventist students in a Seventh-day Adventist university. So eventually his credentials were stripped. And he still pursued his views. He could still teach, but not as a Seventh-day Adventist minister. That's why I'm saying it's important. Which platform do you use for what? You know, we may not label you. There's a lay member who has questions in church and as leadership, we need to try to answer. If as an ordained elder of the Adventist church, I have questions, I need to be careful about how I ask my questions. And that's why I said there's a difference between asking questions and taking a position. Because sometimes you may need to take a position privately so that you don't cause, because of the position that you hold, because you will be labeled. In as much as we don't want, we want to have a space of intellectual, a space where people engage intellectually. We are not afraid to ask questions so that we can grow, you know, but we also need to be responsible. We are occupying positions, and so that we don't cause chaos, because we are an organization also.
Beautiful, beautiful stuff there, Pastor. Well, wow, a mouthful you said there. Thank you so much for your time, Pastor. We're going to be connecting with you again tomorrow at the same time. And same. This was a very interesting conversation and very important, actually, but that, you know, our listeners would have gained quite a lot, have gained a lot as well. And I do want to thank you so much. Let's connect tomorrow again.
Thank you very much. Have a good rest of the day.
Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.